Okay, in June this year we started with that seven C's of history again. Can you remember? I did it about 8 years, 9 years ago. It's an Answers in Genesis series, and I'm going to do it again. Today, we're going to talk about the second C. Who can remember what the first C stands for? The first C. Can you learn how? Maybe I'll help you. Creation. Thank you, Rebecca. Is everybody awake? Okay, good. Now, we learned on that day that God created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That's exactly where we get our seven-day week, ne? Can you quickly help me? Who can remember what was created on day one, day two, day three? Day one. Let's say, who can remember what happened on day one? What did God create on day one? Earth? Light? Now say. Darkness, that's right. Light and darkness. He divided light and darkness on that day. On the second day. Who can remember what God created on the second day? Yeah, he separated actually the water. In the Bibles he said the firmament above and the firmament below. So he created atmosphere actually on that day. Dag 3. Wie kan onthou wat gebeur op dag 3? Day 3. Amper. He created the dry land, nee. The dry land and everything that grows on dry land, the trees and the vegetation and so. Day 4. Who can remember day 4? Die ouer mense kan ook maar help. The sun and the moon and the stars. Day 5. Flying creatures and the swimming creatures. Okay, kom ons kyk dag 6. What happened on day 6? That's right, he created man, the animals and man on day 6. Baie mooi klas. Now, this morning we're going to continue our journey to learn more about the seven big events that happened in history. There's still one outstanding. If you look carefully, you can see there creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ born, and the cross. And there's still one event that needs to come, consummation. Now, we looked at creation the previous time, and this morning we're going to look at the second C, corruption. Now, when God finished his creation on day 6, he looked around and he said, "This looks very bad." He said, "It looks very good." Nee. Das recht. Yeah. In Genesis 1 verse 31, he says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Baie mooi klas. Now, think for a moment. What does a very good place look like? Something like this?
No.
Huh? Does this look like a very good world? And we see this and we read about this every day, ne? Yeah. Now today we're going to learn about the event or the reason, if you like, that caused things to be this way. And this is the next C we are going to talk about this morning, corruption. Does anybody know what corruption means? I would like to have a definition, a description of corruption. Verduidelik vir my bietjie, wat beteken korrupsie? Corruption. In your own words.
Yeah. Corruption is sin as well.
It's sin, yes, that's correct. You bribe somebody. It's when it's something beautiful turns ugly, ne? Even if you take a fruit, like you pick an apple and you leave the apple on the table, eventually that apple will corrupt, ne? Wat nog? Gee my nog 'n paar voorbeelde van something that's corrupt. Die kinders kan my ook help. I need something, give me some examples. Something that went from good to bad, from pretty to ugly.
Slechte invloede.
Ja, slechte invloede. Nog iets wat, daar is so oulike liedjie in Afrikaans, my lapop, hoe gaan hy lapop? Lapop op die ashoop of sweets. Ken jy hom nie? Okay. Now, our text this morning, I'm going to read quite some large portions from Genesis 3 and Genesis 4, but our memory verse is from Genesis 2, from 15 to 17. I'm going to read for you. If you want, you can open your Bibles there at Genesis 3 and 4, because we're going to basically stay there. In Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17, God says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'Listen carefully, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Ek gaan dit nog een keer lees. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Who is God speaking to here?
Adam and Eve.
He's speaking to Adam. That's an interesting fact. He's speaking to Adam, but Eve was not... I nearly say born. Eve was not created yet, ne? Eve was only created a few verses later, in verse 22. But God is speaking to Adam here. And God puts a choice before Adam. What was this choice?
To go after the garden.
To?
To look after the garden.
That was an instruction, but there was a choice he put in front of Adam here. God put a choice here. He says, the choice was to obey God's word, not to eat the fruit, or to disobey and eat. And this is also our theme this morning, to obey or to disobey. To obey or to disobey. So this is what God put in front of Adam when he said here, "You are free to eat, but you must not eat from the tree of the garden." Everybody understand, ne? So this is the choice. This is the choice God's put in front of Adam. Now, we mentioned in the last session, a few months ago, that Genesis is the book about beginnings, about the firsts, ne? The fact is, and this is what Genesis means. Genesis means beginnings, firsts. Now, this was the first law God gave Adam. Has God got the right to do that? And why? Why has he got the right to give us a law? He created us, ne? He created us. Now, shortly after that, we're not quite sure how long this event I'm going to read about now happened. Might be a few days, might be a few years, we're not exactly sure. Now, the serpent, it says here in chapter 3, verse 1, "The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" That's basically Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17. God said, you must not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. Have you ever done this or played this little game? Or it's sometimes in the newspapers, or sometimes you get it in a magazine. They've got two pictures of somebody playing or whatever. Two pictures, but you need to spot the difference. Have you played that? Have you done it before? There's two pictures next to each other, and then you've got to spot the difference. See what's not the same on the other picture. Have you played it before? Now there's a difference between what Eve is saying God said and what God actually said. See if you can pick it up. I'm going to read the two sides again and see if you can pick up the difference here. God said here in verse 16, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. The woman said to the serpent here in verse 2, in chapter 3, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. God never said you should not touch it. So what did Eve do here? She actually added something to what God said. And what God also said is, you may freely eat of any tree. But she didn't say that. She took it out. She'd left that word out. Now the point I'm going to make here is that it's dangerous. It's a serious matter to leave or to add words to what God commands us. The serpent did the same thing. He changed God's command as well. The serpent denied that they would die. Surely you shall not die, he said. And he also asked Eve if they could eat from every tree. He also twisted God's words. See, now is the serpent bezig om met Eve te praat. Now let's read from what the Bible says about adding or taking away from God's word. In Deuteronomy 4 verse 2, it says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. In Deuteronomy 12 verses 32, he says again, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. In Proverbs 30 verse 6, he says, do not add to his words or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. The point we want to make here is it's very dangerous. We need to be very careful about how we read and how we study the Bible. We must not twist the words to make them to say what we want them to say. Okay, let's read further. I'm going to read from verse 4. Now the serpent is talking to Eve, and he says, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed thick leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So what do you think would you have done if you were Adam? Would you have obeyed God? Unfortunately, actually we all have disobeyed at least once in our life. Listen to what Paul says here in Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. He also says here in Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks after God. They all have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not one. And then in verse 23, Romans 3, he adds, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us fall short, like Adam. Daar's Adam. En hy vat sy happie. What are they trying to do here? Busy covering themselves. That's the right word. They're trying to cover themselves. They're trying to hide. They're trying to cover their sins. And God didn't particularly like those leaves, so he made them proper garments. He made them from skin of animal. And we might speculate about it, but could have been a sheep, maybe a cow skin. But God made garments, it says in verse 21, of skin for Adam and Eve to properly clothe them. And this was probably the first shedding of blood that took place, because God probably had to kill an animal to provide the skin for the clothing. And this is why we wear clothes today. This is why we wear clothes today. It's because of sin. This was the first time anything had to die in God's beautiful creation. This was the saddest day in the history of the universe. Sometimes when we sin, we try to cover up, nay, we try to hide. Have you ever done it? I surely have. You all have. You try to dodge it, or when somebody asks you a question, you try to make a different excuse. But our attempts to cover up sin are not good enough for God. Any sin is an offense to our holy and righteous God. Now let's read about what else happened as a result of Adam's disobedience. Now remember, Genesis is a book of the beginnings, as I mentioned. I'm going to read through the next verses from verse 8 to 24, and I would like you to pick from what I read and listen to what the first beginnings or first things happened, okay? And then we're going to talk about that. What beginnings does the passage teach us about? I'm going to read Genesis 3 from verse 8 to 24. So, luister baie mooi. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit, and I ate of it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to the children, to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and you will, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you turn to the ground, since from you you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the fruit of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So what happened after they've sinned? Snakes will be crawling on their bellies. Women would endure pain in childbirth and child rearing. Man would now work hard for food. Plants will be growing thorns and thistles. The first clothing was worn, and to dust we will return. Probably the saddest day in the history. Everything changed. Nothing is the same again. Part of our punishment is that we will, everybody eventually die. In Romans 8:22 says the following, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. So everything in the world is suffering because of sin. Adam's one act of rebellion towards God was so serious that it caused the whole creation to change from very good to bad. Let's look at a few other things that changed. Remember last time when we talked about what was on the T-Rex menu? Can you remember when God created him? That was on his menu. He had fruit and vegetables. Although he even had sharp teeth. But that changed. Now he's got other things on his mind. Other animals. Now he wants to kill. This is why we often see animals eating each other. I saw a nature program the other day where sharks is eating sharks. Instead of using the sharp teeth to munch on fruit as he did in the beginning, they want to eat each other. Before Adam disobeyed, he and Eve might have had some playful time with the dinosaurs, like we see here. But after Adam sinned, everything changed. So today that those animals no longer get along. They passed away anyway. How many of you had someone you loved dearly get sick or passed away? All of us. It's very sad when that happens, but we need to remember that sickness and death were not part of God's original creation. That came because of Adam's sin. Our sin as well. Our sin makes the world a pretty bad place. I'm going to read from Genesis 4, verses 1 to 8. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked with the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of his firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out to the field." And while they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Again, a first. This was the world's first murder. Adam and Eve disobeyed, and their sin was passed on to their children, who also disobeyed and sinned, like we see Cain doing. It's very sad to see what sin does to God's one perfect creation. Now, Marijke and I will be married for nearly 28 years by the end of this year. I think over a span of about 12 years, we've got 5 children. That's about a child every 2-3 years, isn't it, Marijke? It's a great. Now, listen here, Genesis 5, verse 4. After Seth was born, that was a third child, Adam lived 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Adam lived another 800 years. Now, if you do a quick calculation, if Adam, say, had children until he was 400 or 500, and he had a child every 5 years, he would have had 100 children, at least 100 children. I think Adam and Eve could have had more than 100 children on their own. Now, if just say 25 of that children, a quarter of them got married to a sister, and those 25 had 100 children, is it 2,500 children, grandchildren? It's Briar. Now, the reason why I read this, or I want to explain to you this, is that all those children you see, all those people there you see, is descendants from Adam and Eve, like we are. Today there's 7,000 million people across the world, all descendants from Adam and Eve. But each of these persons, because they were children, grandchildren, great, 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 great grandchildren of Adam and Eve, were born sinners and all disobeyed the Lord. Let's quickly review our verse here, verse 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Today we learned about corruption, the second C in the seven C's of history. To obey or not to obey. That's what today's lesson is all about. And we saw how the event in history changed the world from very good to bad. Kom ons maak ons oë toe. Oh Lord, it surely was a very sad day when Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed your command. But Lord, unfortunately, we are no better. We are the same. We've also learned that we are as much responsible for our sins as they are. Lord, we sometimes so easily forget how you really hate sin. You despise sin. And how much you dislike what we do when we disobey your commandments. We can see that the world we live in is not a good place. And it's because of our sin. You are eagerly looking forward to hear about the promise you made to Adam and Eve in chapter 3. That you will only one day send a Savior to conquer sin. The one who would provide the full covering of our sin. And we're eagerly looking forward to that lesson as well. But today we have to realize that sin has consequences. And we are responsible. Please show us where we add or take away from your words. Forgive us for disobeying your word. Amen.